This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. Today's Jazz Beat podcast is in memory of Joe Temperley. Joe Temperley died on May 11th. He was 86. Joe was a charter member of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, and it wasn't solely by seniority, experience, and chosen instrument that he brought a special gravitas to the band. The Scottish-born saxophonist was simply one of the greatest baritone players in jazz history, and he held the singular qualification of having succeeded Harry Carney in the Duke Ellington Orchestra. Of the many Ellingtonians who seemed irreplaceable, Carney topped the list, but he also made it a moot point. Unlike Cootie Williams, Ben Webster, Barney Bigard, Johnny Hodges, and Lawrence Brown, he not only never left the Duke, he outlived him by several months. Thus, by the time he died on October 8, 1974, it was Duke's son, Mercer Ellington, who invited Temperley to join the band after it heard him play at Carney's funeral service. That's Joe Temperley and Harry Allen playing Duke Ellington's In a Mellow Tone. Temperley became well-versed in Ellington's music while spending 7 years playing traditional jazz and swing with the trumpeter Humphrey Littleton's band in London. Joe was originally a tenor player, but shortly after he began playing baritone in 1958, he benefited directly from a meeting with Carney during one of the Ellington band's tours of England. When it caused him to report late for duty that night, Littleton excused it as an educational endeavor. Temperley made the leap to New York in 1965 and was relieved to find himself in demand. Over the next decade, he worked with Woody Herman, Buddy Rich, Duke Pearson, Thad Jones and Mel Lewis, Joe Henderson, and Clark Terry. That's Joe Temperley playing Come Fly With Me from his Frank Sinatra songbook. The 10 years he spent touring with the Ellington Orchestra made Temperley the perfect prospect for the baritone chair with Wynton Marsalis's fledgling outfit. The Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra was born out of an Ellington tribute concert that Wynton put together in 1988. And since the band's formation 2 years later, the Ellington canon has been such a prominent part of its repertoire that at times it seems like its raison d'etre. But over the years, JLCO's repertoire has become all-encompassing, and Temperley's resonant sound, full tone, and superb facility animated a wide range of material, from original compositions by Marsalis, Ted Nash, and other band members, to canonical works by John Coltrane, Charles Mingus, Thelonious Monk, and many others. Still, in settings large and small, Joe was first and always a superior exponent of Ellingtonia. When I got word of his death, my first thought was to listen to the duo recording he made with pianist Dave McKenna of one of Duke's most elegiac works, Sunset and the Mockingbird. Perhaps owing to its spare and sorrowful beauty, their version of Sunset has been one of the most requested songs by Jazz à la Mode listeners over the past 20 years. Thank you. I listen next to the single Petal of a Rose, the other well-known movement from Ellington's Queen's Suite. This performance by Joe on bass clarinet and Aaron Deal on piano elicited several comments on YouTube, including one from a man who wrote, "I saw Temperley play this to his wife as an anniversary gift at Symphony Hall in Boston last year. It was perhaps my single greatest musical experience ever." Jazz at Lincoln Center showcased Joe in a special concert last year. In his introductory remarks, Wynton Marsalis lauded him as the most soulful thing to come out of Scotland. The way he can come from where he came from and embrace just the very essence of jazz, an essence that we run from in our own country all the time. This man has embraced our music with such dignity. The seriousness, the depth of his understanding, his willingness to study it, his willingness to be about it, is inspirational. In a eulogy issued last week, Marsalis said, "From the coal mines of Scotland to clubs and concert halls all over the world, Joe's journey was epical, and he did it with integrity, style, piss and vinegar. We will miss him deeply, and his spirit will forever live on in the sound of our orchestra." Joe's widow, Laurie Temperley, also noted the distance he'd traveled in a lovely dedication she posted on Facebook. She wrote, "Once he left Scotland, he never looked back. It was all about New York City. And he achieved his dream, a wonderful marriage for 32 years, the music and musicians he had longed to play with, and our son, whose life he shared on a daily basis. He could never go back there. He often said his family didn't know or understand him or his music. He was right." Listening to Joe's performance of John Coltrane's Alabama leaves me contemplating just how far he'd come from back there. Train composed the dirge to commemorate the firebombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, that killed four young African-American girls on September 15, 1963. The 85-year-old Temperley dedicates the piece to a recently deceased friend, the trumpet virtuoso Wilbur Wise, and his moving solo underscores a central truth of jazz as music that has long fostered the transcendence of racial and cultural boundaries. For more on Joe Temperley, visit the jazz blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beat, I'm Tom Reaney. Thank you.
We'll be right back.